We at Mount Zion's Mission Barbados Foursquare Church, with Senior Apostles Dr. Lucille and Chris Beard, invite you to tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory, to hear the powerful Word of God that will transform and change your life. Remember, the church that's alive is worth the drive. Let's hear the Word of God.
Very blessed good morning to all listeners in Barbados, the Caribbean region, wherever you'll be hearing this program. I'm Reverend Lucille Beard, and I'm excited to be able to come to you again this morning on In God's Glory. I'm excited about what God is doing among us at Mount Zion's Missions. I'm excited about what God is doing in the church in general. And I'm excited about what He is going to do for us this year as we celebrate our 30th anniversary and we celebrate our Jubilee year. Bless God of fulfillment. With me in the studio also is Apostle Chris Beard and Reverend Gail Price. And again today, our great guest, and it's exciting to be with us, and we're excited to have him, Reverend Dave Stone. And this day today, he's going to do a lot of sharing because he is our lecturer in our Bible Institute, and he'll be sharing some powerful teachings with us and the 35 students that are in the Bible class. And those students are blessed, change, and of course, their lives are being rearranged and recalibrated by the power of God as He brings the Word of God to us in such a powerful and profound way. I'm so impressed by what he's sharing. I want him to share with you a few of those thoughts that he's been sharing with us. Because when you have something good, you want to share it. When you're blessed by something, you want to bless somebody else. And so today we're going to have Reverend Gail to lead up and pray for us. And then we're going to have Reverend Stone to come back and share with us. Blessings.
Thank you very much, Apostle Lucille. Good morning to everyone listening on the radio program. God bless you. Father, we just bless your name, praise and glorify you, for you are our God. You are the uncreated creator, and we give you all the thanks and the honor and the glory. Father, as we come together today to bring this radio program, I pray that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit will touch lives, that people will be changed, they'll be transformed, that healing and deliverance and salvation shall take place. So we thank you, Father God, for blessing this program, blessing the apostles and Reverend Stone and every single person that is listening. We pray a blessing and the favor of the Lord upon all of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Reverend Gail. As I've said earlier, I'm excited to be able to share the Word of God with you that Reverend Stone has been sharing with our Bible school students. We also want to conjoin that word with our theme this year. It's the dawning of a new era, a new day. It's our kingdom Jubilee year of fulfillment. And that word comes to really encourage us, Reverend Gail, and to strengthen us, because really and truly, you have to go through the desert. One of his teachings is leadership begins in the desert. And then he's also discussing and teaching us on discipleship and church leadership. And as we sit in the class, we recognize that where we are right now in terms of the new era and in terms of the year of Jubilee and fulfillment, based on the fact that we've experienced the desert. We've gone through the desert, all of the things that happened in the desert. Jesus, when he started his ministry, the Spirit of God came upon him, and the Spirit of God didn't lead him down the road to start miracles and do great things. It led him in the backside of the desert, in the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. And so when we come to ministry, we always expect that things will go so wonderful and rosy, and it'll be hunky-dory. And, everybody will say, what a great minister I am, how great a preacher I am. Sorry, whatever Stone is teaching us is the truth. We have to experience the desert so we are prepared and processed. We must go through the process, and it builds character in us. It gives us the strength to be able to manage when temptations come and the tribulations come and the tough times come. We're able to withstand, all of the things that will come and the crisis that will come, because we've gone through the desert, the wilderness, and we have been prepared and ready. David was in the backside of the desert when he was called up. Bless God. And so mighty men of God and women of God are prepared in the desert. But it's not an easy thing to be in the desert. But guess what? We have to go through the desert. It's imperative. Very important. You train and prepare. Nobody goes to war without preparation. You don't join the police force without preparation and go on the road and start being a police officer. You have to go through a lot of training. We've gone to a lot of the passing parades, and we've seen these guys, you know, looking pristine and stuff, but they've gone through so much training in the year or so before to prepare them. And in the army, you know, no army sends out a soldier unless they're ready and prepared to fight and to be in combat. But we in the church always think it's such an easy life. Once I'm saved, it's wonderful, and I'm on my way to heaven. The next thing is to preach and go to heaven. No. And I'm so glad to have Reverend Stone, you know, in Barbados with us at this time, who's sharing with us and strengthening our stand in the Lord, strengthening our knowledge in the Lord, our positions in the Lord, our faith in the Lord with his word of encouragement. Our word, you know, the Lord gave us this year is, you know, is a word that really encourages us to stand, encourages us to see God work and manifest his power with us. It's encouraging for us to be able to know that we've gone through the desert. Yeah. Hearing this, we can testify, mm-hmm. and we can relate. Yeah. We did not just, you know, pulled up and brought up. We went through the wilderness, and sometimes it was difficult. And you wonder, when is it going to cease and when is it going to stop? Bless God, all of the things that we've gone through, the fire, we've gone through the flood, we've gone through the lion's den, all of that. But guess what? Looking back on my life right now, I thank God for building character while I was in the desert being processed. And I'm sure Reverend Gail, you know, you experienced that as well with me and Apostle Chris. And we can say now, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Amen. We don't complain and grumble. We just give praise and thanks. And so if you're listening to me and you're young in ministry or you just got saved, I've got good news for you and I got bad news for you. And the good news is that you're going to make it, because God has already given you the victory before you start the battle. And you go in the battle from a place of standing on the word. Having done all to stand, you stand sure knowing that your victory is already given. But, sorry, you have to go through. You have to face tons of hardship, difficulties. Moses did that with all of those rebellious Jews. Bless God. And God so angry once that he just kind of, to you rebels, he called them rebels and stuff like that. And got God right upset with him. So life cannot be as we plan it. Life is as God has planned it for us. Amen. And in the planning for us, he's going to plan some difficulties. Yeah. He's going to plan some tribulations. Yes. He's going to plan some hard times. But at the end, he will still give us our new era and our new day. Amen. And he will still cause us to experience our jubilee year of fulfillment. So I hasten to introduce Reverend Stone to share with you, you know, on the things that he's sharing with us at Mount Zion. And we are being blessed. And I know that you will be blessed as well from hearing him.
Want me to go ahead and start now? So this theme that leadership begins in the desert came as I studied the Word of God. And I noticed that it was a common theme in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, where Abraham had to pass through the desert in order to get from Ur of the Chaldees to the Promised Land. And then Moses had to spend 40 years in the backside of the desert before he was prepared to be a leader to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then his successor, Joshua, spent 40 years wandering through the wilderness with the children of Israel before he became the leader. And we see that also with David. He was anointed as the king, but he didn't just take over the throne immediately. He had to spend time fleeing from King Saul in the desert for several years before he became the king. And then when we get to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul himself said after he got saved, he says, I didn't go learn the gospel and learn how to minister from men, but I went to Arabia. He went to the desert and spent time in the desert learning from Christ himself how to minister and what he was called to do. And then we find John the Baptist, who was out on in the wilderness, and the people were coming to him from the cities, from Jerusalem and Judea. And it says that all the people went out into the desert, to the wilderness, to be baptized by John. So he was performing his ministry in the desert. That's where he lived and grew up and trained. And then Jesus went out to the wilderness and was baptized by John. And as Apostle Lucille was saying, as the Holy Spirit came upon him, he didn't jump out of the water and start healing the sick and preaching the gospel. No, it says that the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But after that was finished, it says that he came out of that experience in the power of the Spirit. And then he began to preach that the kingdom of God was at hand. And so I saw this pattern throughout the scriptures of the leaders that God was raising up were experiencing this time in the desert of preparation. And of course, when we talk about the desert, we're not talking about a literal physical desert. We're talking about the trials and the testings and the temptations and tribulations that we go through. We often refer to them as a desert experience. And so I begin to look into this and think, well, why the desert? What happens in the desert? And the first thing that I thought of and was brought to my attention was that we're taken out to the desert to die to self. Because we can't live in the desert by ourselves. There's no water there. There's no food there. It's easy to get lost and disoriented because there are no roads and pathways to follow. So out in the desert is a place where people die unless they have outside help. And so one of the things that if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and especially a leader, we can't do it on our own. We have to die to self. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross and then follow me. So he's talking about this death to self. So that's the first thing that I thought of out in the desert experience. The next thing that leads us to is to learn to depend upon God, because if I'm going to die in the desert, the only hope that I have of salvation is from the outside, and that's God. And so as God is preparing us to be leaders, we can't be a leader in our own strength and our own wisdom and our own way. If we're going to be a leader in the kingdom of God, we have to learn to depend upon God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so that desert experience then teaches us that we can't rely upon ourselves. We have to depend upon God. And then another thing that doesn't always seem to make a lot of sense, and that was as I studied the children of Israel going into the wilderness, was that they went out into the wilderness to the desert to learn to worship God. You know, it's so easy to worship God when everything is going well. And we're in church, we've got music playing, everybody's singing. It's so easy to worship God. But how about in the hard times?
Yes.
When things are difficult, when we're in the desert, can we still worship God? And when Moses was speaking to Pharaoh, he says, let my people go that they may serve me. That word serve means worship. Some versions actually translate it that way. Let my people go that they may worship me in the wilderness. And as the children of Israel got out of the wilderness, that's where God gave them the pattern for worship. And they learned how to worship God the way he wanted to be worshiped. Now, worship today, of course, is different than it was in the Old Testament because Jesus came and he says, today the time is, and it's now that things are going to change because you're not going to worship in the old way. You're not going to worship in the temple and on this mountain or that mountain, but you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. But we still need to learn to worship in the hard times. God inhabits the praises of his people. Can we praise him when things are going bad, when things are hard and difficult. As we praise him, that's where he manifests himself in the midst of our trial. And then the fourth thing, and this is not necessarily an exhaustive list, and that was to see his glory. It says that as the children looked toward the wilderness, they saw the glory of the Lord that appeared in the cloud. Had they never left Egypt and gone out into the wilderness, they never would have seen his glory. And I thought of the stars and the moon. You know, we don't see the stars in the daytime. No. We see the stars at night. And there are times when God can only show us aspects of his glory in the hard times, in the dark times. And so that's another thing that he accomplishes, another purpose that he has for that desert experience. But when we talk about the desert, as I mentioned, we're talking about tribulation and hard times. And one of the things that we were sharing last night was out of Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, he says that we have access by faith into grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He says, and not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Okay. And that word glory means to rejoice in tribulations. Now, that's not our natural response to tribulation. Most of us complain when we're in tribulation. Just like the children of Israel complained in the wilderness. Our natural response is not to rejoice. But he says, rejoice in your tribulations, glory in your tribulations, because it's producing something in you. It's producing perseverance. And that perseverance is patience, translated elsewhere, or fortitude or endurance. It makes us stronger. Those tribulations make us stronger. And so we rejoice in the tribulations because it is making us stronger. But that doesn't end there. Because he continues on and he says that tribulation produces perseverance, and then perseverance produces character. And that word character in some versions is translated experience, but it's really referring to approved character or proven character. And that is really what God is doing in our lives as disciples and especially as leaders. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it talks about all things working together for good. And he goes on, he says, according to his purpose. You say, well, what is his purpose? If you read verse 29, he says, this is his purpose, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. God is developing our character to be like Christ. He is much more concerned about our character than he is anything else. He's not as concerned about our gifting and our talent and our abilities and our ministry as much as he's concerned about our character. Because we can have all those giftings without character, and we're going to fall short. We're not going to please God or accomplish what he wants. It's that character development that is so important. And then he says character produces hope, and hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, as we think about these trials and tribulation, that desert experience, it's interesting to look at other scriptures. John 16:33, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. He didn't say, come and follow me and it's all going to be good. He didn't say, come and follow me, you'll never have any more problems. He says, in the world you will have tribulations.
Yes.
And then he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer.
Yeah.
He doesn't say complain or gripe or be sad or disappointed or discouraged. He says, you're going to have tribulations, and be of good cheer. Rejoice in those tribulations because I've overcome the world. And then Peter wrote, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, but rejoice. And James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So he says, rejoice, you know, count it joy. How can I be joyful in my tribulations? But we look at Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi, at midnight they were rejoicing and singing to the Lord.
That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
And he says, because you know something, you know that the testing of your faith is producing patience in you, is producing endurance and perseverance in you. And then Paul, just a couple more scriptures, and we'll close with this, says in Romans 8:18, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then to the Corinthians, he wrote, for our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And what we need to understand is that our trials and tribulations and testing, it's working for us. It's producing good character in us. And so when we understand that, we don't get overwhelmed by our trials. We rejoice in them. We have faith that God is working for us. They're working on our behalf, making us better than we were before. And one of the things, let me just close with this, tribulation, the word tribulation is literally pressure. All of us feel pressure at times. And the way to overcome pressure isn't by fighting it from the outside, it's from the inside. It's being filled with the Spirit on the inside. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says, be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. We need that indwelling Holy Spirit to empower us and strengthen us so that we can rejoice and be victorious in our times of trial and tribulation.
Amen.
What a wonderful, encouraging word to the listeners. I believe that people that are listening are being touched and challenged and to change from that place of complaining in your trials and in the testings and under pressure to saying, God, I'm willing to accept whatever's happening because I recognize that I must go through. Jesus went through, and you made reference to several persons in the Bible, Moses and Joshua and David and the Apostle Paul, all of them went through. And they, of course, they're great examples. Jesus is our greatest example, and then Moses. And so we have to tell ourselves, we got to go through. We cannot avoid the test without the promotion. We can't be promoted without the test. And so I'm so glad that you took time to share. And I know that, you know, we're going to come back and Apostle Chris is going to pray for the listeners, those that probably listen and are challenged. And we're going to pray that the Lord will really start a work. I know he's already doing it, but do an awesome work based on the word, and it will take root and it will be manifested in that change that's significant. And you will have the strength to get up and keep going and say, I will not stop. I will not complain, but I will rejoice in my trials. Now, we're continuing at Mount Zion's missions to go to the communities and work with those persons and the communities that we've been sent to years ago. We've already gone to several communities. And last Sunday, we were in Chapman Lane and New Orleans. I didn't get to go and stay long. I passed through because I was on my way up to the airport, you know, for a short trip out to the island. And I stopped in New Orleans and greeted my guys. And they were glad to see me. But Reverend Gale and Reverend Stone, and at least quite a good number of our membership, 20-something of them, were down there. And looking at the pictures, I saw you, Reverend Stone, a white man in Chapman Lane and New Orleans, ministering the word of God on a Sunday. And I said, this is God. This is a miracle. I bless God. You were a blessing to those people. You went with my team house to house. Reverend Gale, could you tell us about what that was like for you out there working on the ground with Reverend Stone and also going back to Chapman Lane and New Orleans, you know? And I think the police officer came also and joined you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Reverend Stone and Pastor Nancy are homers now. Praise God. So they fitted in quite well. We had a great time in Chapman Lane. and New Orleans, and the people received us well. We had a great challenge from Reverend Elvis, and Excellency was there to give his testimony and also sing. The most important thing, though, is that we were able to go through the streets, meet wonderful people, and share the gospel with them, share the track, share the love of God. And our young people, our youth from as young as 5 years old, they were with the children sharing out snacks and water, etc. So we had a great time in this month of February. We are going back to our communities and our outreaches, and we are touching lives once again. So I am very, very grateful for that. This Sunday, we are going to Gall Hill Christ Church and Watton, and Gall Hill is our baby, is our foundation of outreach. Praise God.
Thank you so much, Reverend Gill. I really thank God for his power, his presence, his manifested power to us and with us, and we will continue to do the work of God because we've been charged to do the work of the Lord. I'm encouraged, and I'm sure that those of you that are listening are encouraged by the word of God that came from Reverend Stone today. I think you know that we have to go through, and we have to endure the tribulations that we're enduring. Life is not going to be a beautiful thing for us every day. Some days it's going to be raining, some days it's going to be full of sunshine. But whatever comes our way, we have Jesus.
Amen.
And we have his reassurance that we are victorious. And we have his reassurance that he's always with us. And we have his reassurance that we're coming out better on the other side. Apostle Chris, can you pray a short prayer for all of those persons that listened and are challenged and ask the Lord to really touch them and change their lives?
Father, we are honored to call upon your name, to speak well of you. You are such an awesome God. And you're not limited to space, color, or creed. You're just awesome. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for ministering to your people. This word today will minister to so many individuals. We pray as their heart open, as they look to you, they'll find the hope, the peace, the tranquility, and the deliverance they need from this experience. They get to know you better, understand how much you'll love us and what you'll do for us. There's nothing you will do to save us from our problems. And Father, hence we look to you. And we thank you for the privilege, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Apostle Chris. Reverend Gill, give your announcement, and then we will close.
Today we are giving much thanks and praise to God for our sponsors, Nature Isle Landscape. They are very professional at the work of landscaping and beautifying your homes and properties. Please give them a call and benefit from their services. Contact information 436-4753. 436-4753. God bless.
Thank you so much, Reverend Gill. Thank you, Reverend Stone, Apostle Chris, all of you. Thank you, listeners, for taking the time to listen to us. May the Lord bless you continually. And at Mount Zion's Missions, you can call our offices 432-6479 and 422-2512. Looking forward to being back here with you again next Friday. God bless you. God keep you. God reminds you that he's with you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. In Jesus' name, blessings to all of you.
Thank you for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you as you tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory on Life 97.5 FM.